When Stephen King was a little boy, his mother read him bedtime stories, gruesome bedtime stories.
One of the things that she read when I was 8 or 9 was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. And what I remembered very clearly was that when Dr. Jekyll was Mr. Hyde, he knocked down a little girl and walked over her, and you could hear her bones cracking in her body. And I thought, oh, my God.
Kind of makes you wonder if that might have been the moment that set Stephen King on his way to writing horror. He has now written more than 50 books, and here's a twist you might not know. Stephen King's youngest son, Owen, is also a writer, and he too has a childhood memory that helped shape his craft.
When I was a kid, we used to play this thing called the writing game with our father. My brother and I would play it where the first person writes a sentence, and the second person writes a sentence, and the third person writes a sentence, and so on, until you get bored and have to go to bed.
Now, father and son have now collaborated on a new novel, trying to keep all of us up late into the night. It is called Sleeping Beauties. Owen King pitched the creepy premise of the book to his dad. What if all the women in the world fell asleep and didn't wake up?
Owen kind of tossed this thing off, and all my lights came on. You know, they all went from red to green at once. And I thought, this is a situation that demands a story, and if you start, the story will pretty much tell itself.
Okay, you've got an idea, and you're both excited about it, and you both think, huh, that's an interesting question. How does that then translate into co-writing a 700-page novel?
What we did was he'd write 25 pages, and then I'd write 25 pages, and so we just pass it back and forth, but one of the things about collaborating with somebody is that you want them to take ownership of what you've written and you want to be able to take ownership of what they've written. So I rewrote him and he rewrote me, and I would leave a message for him when it was my turn, and I'd say, okay, I want you to write a scene with this character and I want this to happen, and here's how I think it will play out. And, you know, just make it as hard as possible for the poor old guy. And and then he would do the same to me.
That sounds like that could either be a really exciting way to write or totally leaving little booby traps for each other. Like, I can't figure out what's going to happen next, so let me leave a little, hey, Dad, have at it right here, note for him.
Well, you know, the thing is, once the story starts to roll, everything becomes story-driven and character-driven, so that the major thing that we were doing by leaving those holes in the script was giving us a chance to blend our writing together. If I had a real problem with saying, well, I really don't know what to do here, he would tell me sort of like, well, you could go this way or you could go that way, leaving the choice up to me. Then I did the same for him. And the result was, when we were done, the stuff was so interwoven and so rewritten and plowed over. It's almost like we created a third person, which could be a horror story in itself.
Sowen King.
Right.
The Sowen.
I want to ask you to read me one passage. There's a woman at the center of this whole mystery sleeping sickness. Let me let you, Stephen, tell me about her, and then I want both of you to read this for us.
Well, her name's Evie, and she's the one character in the book that we can assume is a supernatural being. She's very enigmatic, and she's... Everybody knows that she's something special. So this is this segment about Evie early on in the book. And Evie was almost everywhere. She was a fly in the 767, crawling down to the bottom of a highball glass and dabbling her legs in the residue of whiskey and coke moments before the plane's nose connected with the ocean's surface.
The moth that fluttered around the fluorescent bar in the ceiling of Nell Seeger and Celia Frode's prison cell was also Evie.
She was visiting the Coughlin Courthouse behind the grid of the air duct in the corner of the conference room, where she peered through the shiny black eyes of a mouse.
On the White House lawn, as an ant, she moved through the still warm blood of a dead teenage girl.
In the woods where Jared ran from his pursuers, she was a worm beneath his shoes, nosing in the soil, blind and many segmented. Evie got around.
Now I gotta ask, can you two even remember which of you wrote that?
No, I cannot remember, to tell you the truth. And you know what, Owen? I think we both wrote that.
I think we both wrote that,
Our
too.
Fingerprints are on both of them, Mary Louise.
So I'm trying to imagine what comes next for you two, aside from book tour, which I know is going to take up the next few weeks. I'm trying to imagine breakfast in the King household, the whole family of writers, and it sounds like the basic conversation is y'all all sit around and try to figure out how to scare the living daylights out of each other.
I just want to say, for me, the great thing about this experience is that it's very unusual to get to spend the kind of time that we got to spend together to work on this book. And to me, that was, I'm thrilled with the book. I'm very, very proud of it. But the thing that I liked the most about this was that I got to spend all this time with my dad.
Yeah, I thought it was a great gift to work with Owen, to hear him say, yeah, I'd like to embark on this project with you. You know, in a lot of ways, writing a novel is like sailing across the Atlantic Ocean in a bathtub. It's a lonely job and it's a long job, and I had somebody with me on it, and that was great. And for it to be my son, that was a tremendous gift.
You could have ended up wanting to kill each other at the end of trying to write 700 pages, and it sounds like it brought you closer.
We'll see if we survive book tour, Mary Louise.
We'll wish you luck on that. That is father and son Stephen King and Owen King talking about the novel they wrote together. It's called Sleeping Beauties, and it is out this week. Thanks to you both very much.
Thank you very much, Mary Louise.
Thank
really appreciate
you so
it.
Much.